Hello, and welcome to the 15th edition of the Raise World podcast. And hello to everyone listening on Blind Cool Tech also. First of all, I want to apologize for the clipping on the last podcast. I've got these microphones positioned differently, and hopefully this time we can avoid any clipping with these microphones. This is my first ever cooking cast, and I'm not exactly sure how it's going to go, but I guess I got to start somewhere. Tonight, I'm going to be preparing a favorite of mine, which may cause some of you to say, "What?" But actually, no, this is going to be a favorite of mine. It's been a favorite of mine ever since I was 5 or maybe 6 years old, and what it is basically fried hot dogs and french fries. Now, what I'm going to be using to do this is my deep fat fryer. This is a rather expensive deep fat fryer. It's a DeLonghi, actually. This deep fat fryer is one of those that is cool touch, and that has another advantage about it. You can actually drain the oil through the side of the deep fat fryer because the oil comes out through a hose in the side, unlike the less expensive ones. I think I paid $107 for the one I got now at Sears. Okay, so here we go. The thing is to preheat this deep fat fryer for, I would say, 15 minutes. Let's see. And this deep fat fryer has a basket. All good deep fat fryers have a special basket that you put stuff in. Now, I'm not talking about the Fried Daddy that doesn't have a basket. I'm talking about the deep fryer that does have a basket. I once had a Sunbeam deep fat fryer that had a basket, but it wasn't cool touch. You couldn't touch the side. That lasted a pretty good long while, actually. Had a heavy glass lid to it. It was very good. Another thing that this deep fat fryer has is a digital timer. I'm setting it for 15 minutes, and then I'm going to start the first part of the process, and I'll tell you a little bit about my early life while I'm doing that, because I'm sure this is going to take a while. Let's see, it is now 10 to 8 on Saturday, May 6th. I would say by 8:10 it ought to be ready, heated enough. Okay, well, the first step involved in doing this is you want to take out about as many hot dogs, wieners, or frankfurters, whatever you want to call them. Some people call them frankfurters, some people call them hot dogs, some people call them wieners. I call them wieners for future reference. I have 5 of them on this board, this cutting board, and you want to cut them up into bite-sized pieces. And you can use any kind of knife for this that you have. You don't have to use a big meat chopping knife. In fact, you could use a paring knife, which is what I've got in my hand. A small paring knife would do the job just as well as any other for the purpose. While I'm proceeding with this, I should tell you that one of the first memories I have as far as food is concerned is the baby bottle. I do actually remember the baby bottle. I'm not kidding. Having nice warm milk in it. Then I remember when I was about 2 or 3, learning how to drink out of one of those sippy cups, I guess is what you'd call them. Those are the cups with the spill-proof lids. They kind of have a... The particular one that I'm referring to kind of had a straw-looking thing near to its front edge. And... This was, of course, on the lid itself. And the straw kind of went down into the cup, as I remember it. And the straw and the lid kind of went together as a single piece. And I learned to drink out of that. In fact, I believe it was chocolate milk that I drank out of that. I don't know when my first Coke was. I don't recall exactly. But I do have other stories besides that, though. I don't remember this happening, but Mom says that when it was time for me to start eating other food, other than just being on the bottle, she tried baby food on me. Misplaced modifier. She tried to feed me baby food, and apparently I didn't like it. And so she tried peas and other vegetables and so forth. I was told that I didn't like that either. I don't know what she did, finally. I guess I stuck with only a few things until I was 5 years old. Now, you're not going to believe this, but I guess as a result of the story I just told you, the only things that I ever ate when I was eating solid food up until the time I was 5 years old were M&M's, potato chips, and chocolate milk. I kid you not, folks, it's the truth. For the first 5 years of my life, until I was 5 years old, and Mom went into the hospital, only three things: M&M's, potato chips, and chocolate milk. And I seem to recall that was my only sustenance for the first 5 years of my life. How did I survive that? I don't know, but apparently it is possible to survive on it. I'm still here. Then when I was 5 years old, I'll just wash my hands and pre-rinse these off at the same time while I tell you this story. Get this cutting board and this paring knife in the dishwasher. When I was 5 years old, and Mom went into the hospital for her hysterectomy. I was staying at Miss Jones' house. You might remember Miss Joan from my Hurricane Katrina podcasts. As I say, I stayed at Miss Jones' house, Mary and I did, and one morning a very peculiar thing happened, totally unexpected. I wasn't expecting it, Miss Joan wasn't expecting it, but it happened. I awoke to a very, I thought, a very good smell. And I could not identify it. I'd never experienced anything of its kind before, ever, and I liked the smell, I really did, and I thought to myself, I've got to go see what this is about. This is good. I'm pretty sure that's what I must have thought. So I padded into the kitchen, and I asked Miss Joan what in the world that smell was. It turned out that Miss Joan had decided to have blueberry Pop-Tarts for breakfast. And I guess I was so enticed by the smell that I decided I wanted a bite. So she gave me a bite, and you know, one bite turned into two bites, and that turned into three bites, and before you know it, hey, I was I pretty well eaten the whole thing. Well, she realizing that that went over well, she decided to try me on fried egg. The fried egg didn't go over so well as the blueberry Pop-Tart. In fact, the fried egg didn't go over well at all. I still don't like fried eggs. I love them scrambled, but I don't like them fried. So I guess maybe she scrambled the next egg and tried it. Anyway, I was blueberry Pop-Tarts every morning that for me that time, and Beanie Weenies and some afternoons, and Mom was pleasantly surprised, I guess, when she came back from the hospital to find out that all of a sudden her boy, who ate nothing but potato chips, M&M's, and chocolate milk, was all of a sudden now eating other things. So, anyway, I guess maybe she decided to try a thing or two, and one of the most curious things that she did was she took a bunch of wieners and she cut them up into bite-sized pieces and boiled them. Maybe she boiled them first and then cut them up, or maybe she cut them up and boiled them. I don't know. You can do it either way. It comes out the same. And I would sit there dipping my hand into the bowl and just going to town on those things. You know, just... And that went over well, so that became my mainstay when we would go out to eat. And now, folks, I must confess, I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this, but it's the truth. From then on, clear up until I was 12 or 13, I kid you not, we would go to restaurants that would normally serve hamburgers and french fries and hot dogs and french fries. We would make the cook cut up wieners into bite-sized pieces and put them on a plate after, you know, preparing them. And with french fries, and for me, that was what we would do every time I would go to a restaurant, until I was 12 or 13, and I don't know what made me try my first hamburger, but I'm glad I did. But, you know, for reasons of nostalgia, from time to time, I will actually take wieners out of the pack, I will chop them up into bite-sized pieces, and I will boil them, and yes, just in case you're wondering, I will, in fact, eat them that way. Which brings me to a rather interesting story. Back at the time I was going to the Louisiana Center for the Blind in Ruston, this would have been 1988, we were on one of our day trips to Monroe, where we were supposed to learn how to navigate the mall there. I went to this little eatery in the mall. I think it was a Chick-fil-A, but I don't recall. And apparently, they had a thing called hot dog nuggets. And I decided, well, let me see what they've done here. So I ordered, I placed an order for one. I got my order. I sat down. And folks, as I live and breathe, I kid you not, what it was exactly what I've described to you. Wieners cut up into bite-sized pieces and prepared as if they were going to be in hot dog buns. Folks, I am not kidding you. That is exactly what they were. And I couldn't help thinking to myself, they stole Mama's idea. I'm not kidding you, folks. I don't know if it was a Chick-fil-A. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But it was some little place, you know, where they had a few iron tables. You know, those round iron tables, you know, with the iron chairs, and they had a few of those, and you could go and sit and eat. Well, anyhow, I think I ordered a second and a third one. I was amazed they came up with this thing, or whoever came up with it. So that was nostalgic, as I'm sure you might well imagine. Now, I would have really freaked out if they had done then what I'm going to do tonight. And this, again, goes back to when I was, I'm gonna say 5, maybe 6 years old. There were times when Mom would get out a pan, put it in her lap, and get a bunch of potatoes, and she would cube potatoes. Now, folks, I don't have any potatoes in here. I'm not going to do that tonight. That would take too long. And besides, if I were going to do that, I would have already done that part. But she would cut potatoes up, and instead of doing French fries, she would dice them into tiny little bite-sized cube pieces, you know, and she would fry them as if they were French fries. And as for the hot dogs, she would cut the wieners up into bite-sized pieces, like I just did. But now get this, instead of boiling, she would fry them. And we would all eat that. That would sometimes be our supper. All four of us would eat that. Now don't get me wrong, Mom did cook more complicated things. She cooks the best white beans and rice you ever tasted. Nobody's white beans and rice is as good as Mama's is. I did make a pot once myself, but it wasn't white beans. It wasn't legitimate white beans. It was Great Northern beans, which are not the same. You can't... I may be wrong about this, but so far as I am aware, you can't get white beans anywhere except in South Louisiana. Now, a white bean is a small bean. It's not a kidney bean. It's like that, but it's not that. Well, folks, I'm going to have to leave my description of white beans and rice and chili for another time because, hey, guess what? The timer went off. So, basically, what I'm going to do here, I've got two paper plates. Each has a paper towel on. I'm going to take one of these and situate it right here on this counter space. And what I'm going to do here now is this, the oil is good and hot in this fire, I can tell you now. I'm going to take this. When I open the lid, the lid of this deep fat fire has a glass, of course, you can see what's happening. I'm going to open the lid. Now, this basket has a handle on it. It's a metal basket, but it's got a plastic handle. And so, with the handle fully extended, then, what you do is you open the lid by pressing the button or otherwise opening the lid. And when you put the basket in, the basket has a kind of a hook thing that it hooks into the edge of the frame of the deep fat fire. So you drop the basket in and it hooks on, and then when you close the basket, see, right now the food is not in the grease. The food is still in the area in the deep fat fire that's above the grease, but in the deep fat fire, I guess you could call it a warming chamber. To actually lower the food into the grease, there is a button on the handle of the basket, and if you press that button with a thumb, it's a little slide switch looking button. that has a thumb depression, so you can work your thumb around it. But when you do that, you actually, before I do that, I'm going to turn this air conditioner up a little. It's getting a little chilly in here. Okay. Anyway, when you drop the food into the basket, you simply lower the basket into the food by pressing this thumb handle. The instant that I do that, I'm going to set the timer for 3 minutes. Doesn't that sound nice, folks? Now, there's no danger of splattering with this deep fat fire because the lid is closed. There's no danger of the steam escaping. You wouldn't want to put your hands right around the very edges of the lid, though, because the steam does tend to escape through there. But you don't want to do this for more than 3 minutes because the pieces are so small that at the high temperature that I'm using, they would burn if I let it go any more than 3 minutes. In fact, I think I'm going to probably cut it down to 230. Think this goes back to when I was 5 years old and I still go crazy over it, which is why I do it so often. I think I can probably remove the basket now. So to do that, I just lift up on the handle. And the food is taken out of the grease. It's still in the warming chamber, which is where I want it for now. As soon as that timer goes off, I'll set it for 1 minute because I want the grease to drain out of the basket a little bit. That popping you hear is just evidence of the fact that the grease is draining off. I'll want this to rest in there for 1 minute. Well, as you can hear, the timer's going off now, so we'll set it for 1 minute. And at the end of that minute, I'll take and I'll put the wieners on this paper plate here, and then I'll put them in the microwave just to let them sit there. I have a thing I do with these when they're in the microwave. I just use 10% power for 5 minutes while I'm doing my French fries. And perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay. Beautiful. Oh, these are going to be great. I'm not going to say I've never burnt anything I've deep fat fried. These will be fine. Yep. I'm going to just put this back. I've got a paper towel that I rest the basket on. This microwave has a rotisserie on it. It has a rotating turntable. Most do now. This Frigidaire has been brailled. I did that in Omaha. Time? 5 minutes. Power 1%. But first, before I start that, I'll get out the fries. I'm cheating. I'm using prefabricated French fries. In this particular case, the crinkle cut version, that was always one of my favorite type of French fry. It's a simple matter, really. You just pour it into the basket. Not this whole bag, of course, although frankly that's tempting. This deep fat fryer is meant to hold 2 pounds of foo woo. I think it's 2.5. No, it's 2 pounds. I'll just put these back in the freezer. For the French fries, I'm going to set those for 5 minutes because I like mine on the crisp side. Should have thrown all these bags away ages ago. Okay, well, with the French fries, it's the same routine. But this time, you'll get a little more of the frying sound, because these fries are coming straight from the freezer right into the hot oil. So here we go, folks. You gotta love it. You gotta. Oh, I do. For the benefit of those of you listening in the UK, I love the sound of y'all's microwaves. I love that 100 hertz harmonic from the 50 hertz things that y'all have. So here's a little bit of mine. I'll just stand near the microwave and shut up for a minute. You'll hear the grease flying off to your left and right in front of you. The 120 hertz harmonic of the 60 hertz that we use for our power. Well, there's a reason why I'm starting off with something as simple as this. Why something this simple? Well, because here lately I've preferred to keep things on the simple level, and I was hungry for an old favorite tonight. So I decided to indulge myself, and I decided to take you with me, insofar as I am able. And this coming week, this coming Friday, May 12th, after I pay my phone bill, we'll go into town, and I'll take you back on another tour of HOMA. This time I think we'll do things a little differently. I'll write my check to Tim for the phone patch, and I'll get that expedited to him, so he should get it around May 15th or May 16th, hopefully. Naturally, of course, I'll do a podcast on that patch when I get it. I've read the instruction manual and it seems pretty straightforward. Also seems like it's going to be the answer to my problems that I've been having trying to find a good way to record telephone conversations. I do record a lot of my telephone conversations. I have personal security reasons which I will discuss with you in a future podcast. I've debated whether I should say anything at all, and I've decided that we're as much family as anything, so you needed to know the truth about what really made me start. I don't record all my telephone conversations, but I figured, like I said, you know, we're family, so you needed to know what the story is behind this, and why I have such a need for a thing as the JK Audio inline patch. The reason that is, I think, it certainly is disturbing. I hope what happened to me never happens to any of you. I wouldn't wish what happened to me on my worst enemy, even if I had a worst enemy. No, I wasn't physically threatened, but I was harassed. I've had collection agency people calling me demanding $1,000 in payment. When these collection agency people called me, they used to call me anyway. They were looking for a guy by the name of Raymond Foray Jr. Now, that is my name. But I promise you folks that I am not the Raymond Foray Jr. they're looking for. They're looking for a guy named Raymond Foray Jr. who was a boat captain. And apparently Sears is taking him to court for the money. Folks, I have never owned a boat. I have never been a boat captain. I don't know anything about the situation. The collection agency I talked to was recalcitrant. He was uncooperative, and I've decided that the next time I get a call from these people, I'm calling the sheriff's office. I've been under assault for the past 2 years by these people. It seems to have not happened this year so far. But I promise you, the first call I get, that's going to be it. I'm not tolerating this anymore. I guess it started in Omaha with activities which I won't go into. There's no need to publicly embarrass anyone in the process of telling the story, so all I will say is that things happened that got me involved with an agency, a very recalcitrant agency. I lost a lot of trust in people at about that time, and frankly, I still don't have much trust in people. I don't have no trust in people, but folks, I'll be frank with you. It is not something which ranks very high with me at the moment. There are some I do trust. I trust my family. I trust the people I go to church with. I trust you guys on BCT. Why? Because I think I can. That's why I'm willing to pay Tim for the phone patch, because I think I can trust him. I think if any of you wanted to sell me anything, I would be willing to buy, because I believe that I can trust you, and no one has given me any reason not to believe it. Well, folks, supper is all but served. I have but to do one final thing. Pour myself a glass of lemonade. Sorry to say, I didn't squeeze lemons in order to make this lemonade. Again, I cheated. I bought the concentrated stuff. Fastest way to do it, buy a gallon of bottled water, measure the lemonade into it, and shake the jug up real good, and you got lemonade. See, that method works if you don't have a picture. That way, you can't say that you can't make lemonade because you don't have a picture. But with my method, you can make all the lemonade you want to. Now, I'll be frank with you folks, I think the best lemonade, honestly, is when you take a lemon, you have it, and you juice it. You don't need any, well, yeah, you do need a little extra sugar with that type of lemonade. But folks, I do believe that this is about over. I've got to eat before it gets cold. But thanks for joining me on this here podcast, and God bless, and I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay. Yep. And that's my first ever cooking cast. If you'd like to contact me, you can do so at rforetjr@bellsouth.net. Well, thanks for joining me right here on the 15th edition of the Raise World Podcast. God bless, and thank you for listening.